You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Well, okay, let's all turn to the... Oh, no, scripture reading, I'm sorry. Turn to 2 Samuel, chapter 7, verse 8. Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcot, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And Lord, we pray now that you add your blessing to this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, I'm like Clark. I like this weather around this time of year. I love it, the cool temperatures. And we have a nice blue sky, the sun rays on your skin. Beautiful. Love it. And the birds coming in... like I say, I love where my office is, and the window's right there. Just this morning I had these beautiful cardinals, five of them, come into the bush there, right next to the window. Some of them climb on the windowsill and look in. They don't see me. It must be the reflectivity there and the difference in light intensities. They don't see me, so I can be right there, and they're just a couple inches away from me. And they're beautiful. So I've been enjoying that. And we also had a whole pile of starlings coming in and moving into the field, and then in waves flying over the top of each other. So they sort of form this movement across, and off they go. So we've been enjoying that. Seppi and I have both been watching this happening. And we've also discovered a nice place. I don't know whether you know this, but Draper Stanley, or Stanley Draper, they've got a... They built this bike path right around the whole lake. So you can get on your bike and you can go right around there. And it is gorgeous, I'm telling you. We've been getting on our bikes. We can't go all the way. We're not fit enough. But we go a certain way and we come back. So we time it, you know. We want to put an hour in. We'll go half an hour and then we'll come back. And we're enjoying that. So I said to Seppi, well, I think we need to get new bikes and take this seriously, and then see if we can go all the way around. And we can race each other. That'd be fun. Okay, let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee today, Lord, for Thy grace and mercy. We pray for the country, Lord, as it's going through this tumultuous times. We ask, Lord, that Your will be done in our lives as we submit to Thy dictates and the Scriptures. And we ask, Lord, that You'd bless this service in Christ's name. Amen. All right, cool. So we're on, it looks boring, doesn't it? Hermeneutics and then lexicons. Oh, man, looks a bit boring. But it's far from that, I can tell you. And hopefully you'll see what I mean as we get into this. So this is everyday kind of experience for me, because whenever I do my study for a sermon, I've got all my resources open and I'm ready to go. And so I'm facing a lot of these issues all the time about interpretation. And it's a very, very important thing. So we talked about the word hermes and how it's in these words, which mean to interpret. And the interpretation of the scriptures has been a very, very important part of the Christian church. And we can obviously see the fruits, in some cases very bad fruits, of poor interpretation, which has taken various branches of... the Christian church along directions which I think have been very, very bad in some cases. And so when we look at words and meanings of words, we want to get a good resource. After all, this was not penned yesterday. This was penned by the writers, say, let's look at the New Testament, nearly 2,000 years ago, and it was penned by and large in the language of Greek, which was the lingua franca of those days. And the type of Greek that was written in is a Greek which is known as Koine, or the common Greek. And so because, like our language, language is in flux, we're seeing right now a cross-section of the development of the English language, okay, here in America. And we know that, for example, English is not necessarily English when you move across the ditch. Know what I mean? you know, phrases and how they speak. It's not just accent. It's the vocabulary, the emphasis, and so on. Meaning of words can change. And I can remember one time seeing that the English are very good at humor. I mean, well, I should say most times. Sometimes they go off on a tangent and they go towards a direction which is not healthy, but they can be extremely funny. They like making fun of themselves, which I think is good. And especially when you look at various areas of London, there's the Cockney area. And they have a way of speaking, man, you can hardly understand a word. I mean a word when they start speaking. And I can remember one time when I was in London and I was with my parents and we were watching the Trooping of the Colour. This is when the Queen comes out and she's got all the horses and all the carriages and all the pomp and ceremony and all this kind of stuff. And right around me, there were Cockney people. And they were the type of Cockney that wore clothing that was made out of buttons. Have you seen this? And just everything they're wearing, it's got all these buttons everywhere, all over their caps, buttons, everywhere, you know? And there was this Cockney lady right next to me, and she turned to me and said something, a couple of sentences, which I could not understand a word. But the only thing I could hear is, "Oh, Cockney, I'm proud of it." I'm Cockney and I'm proud of it, you know. And and it's fun, I think, a lot of these things. But when it comes to the Bible and you look at the fact that, okay, so the Bible was written in New Testament times, was written in Greek, and therefore you're getting a snapshot of the time in which that was written. And therefore there's a context of how words are used. And therefore, trying to understand what words mean is important. And so what some people do is, I think they rely too much on lexicons. Now what lexicons do is, they will take a word, they will try to give you the meaning, the summary meaning of what that word is, and then they will give you various categories, which will give you various flavors, contextual flavors of what that word means, which is helpful. But what you've got to understand is that that was written by a man or men, and therefore there can be error in there. And not only that, you can use the lexicons in a way which was not intended to be used. In other words, the lexicon is simply trying to show you the range of meaning that words can take. Okay, so after that little sort of talk about that, this is from Appendix 124 in the Companion Bible, and while this is not strictly speaking a lexicon, it gives the sort of thing that you'd find in a lexicon. This is showing you synonyms of the words other and another. And I just want to look at number 1 and 2. Look at this. It says allos. This is another of the same kind, okay, and denoting numerical distinction. And then it gives you some references you can look up. And then it gives you heteros, another of a different kind, okay? So usually denoting generic distinction. So you've got two others or an others. One is allos, another of the same kind, and heteros, another of a different kind. And you can see even this word comes into our English, heterodoxy, okay? And so what I want to do is I want to show you how these words appear in some places and how you can carefully find these meanings in passages. So let's just open up at Galatians chapter 1. And I'm going to use this as an example because it pertains to John's gospel and a very important verse, which we will look at shortly. But look at Galatians chapter number 1, okay? And it says this in verse 6. It's a good place to start because it's just beginning the start of a new thought. Verse 5 ends with Amen. And then verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. And then look at the next verse. Which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now you notice that he's marveling at something. He's wondering at this thing that happened, that they were so soon removed. So this is not a good thing. It's a removal from truth. And it says, from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Unto another gospel. And then it goes on and it says, which is not another. Now, you can see that if you just looked at the English, it really arrests you. Why? Because it seems like a contradiction. It says, unto another gospel, which is not another. It's another gospel, but it's not another gospel. Seems like a bit of a contradiction. And so the very verses and context pushes you to see, well, there must be something about this another, this word another. There's something's going on here. And as you read on, it says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So without even knowing any other Greek, you can see what's going on. This other one that they're coming up with is a different gospel. Now, let's just look at it a little bit more carefully. Where's my pointer? Can't seem to see my pointer anyway. Oh, not too bad. Okay, well, you can see here in the yellow there, it says, okay, called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now, look at that in the yellow in the Greek. It says, eis heteron euangelion. Okay, now you can see the other there is heteron. That's a different gospel. So he's marveling that they're so quickly removed from the grace of Christ unto a different gospel. That's what it means, right? So you can see it from the context, but the Greek allows you to confirm it. And so, first of all, I get the context, and that points me in the right direction, and then I look a little bit further at the lexical thing, which is different, heteron gospel, and then it says, which is not another. See, allo. See, that's the word, that's the other. It's not another one of the same kind. Okay? So this different gospel, it's not a gospel of the same kind that you received from me. It's a different one. Now you can see what's going on here, and the Greek text and the meaning fits together, and it helps you to understand what's going on here. Okay, so we can see that. Now, so what people do is they say, all right, so that's the way it worked there, and the lexicon points us in this direction. So therefore, every single place where I come across allos is going to mean another of the same kind, right? So let's read this verse now. This is in John 10, verse 16. It says, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. Okay, now, notice it says other sheep, and I've got it in green there, and you can see alla probata. Okay, probata is a sheep, and that Allah, it is meaning the same as allos, it is other. So, and I have other sheep which are not from this court, and them I must bring. Okay, so let's now push that lexical meaning. Okay, and other sheep of the same kind I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. Meaning, it must be Israel, because it's the same sheep. You see? Same, it's just, they're other sheep, but they're of the same kind. Other sheep of the same kind. So some people would read this, and they'd say, okay, so therefore this means they're sheep of the same kind or as Israel, and they're just scattered out there, and God is going to bring them back into this fold, and then there'll be just one flock. Okay, and Jesus will be the shepherd. Now, that's what's taught. But what I want to suggest is that you've got a wrong interpretation there. And I'll show you why I think that's the case. Now, first of all, what we will do is we'll say this. Context always is paramount. And if we have evidence from the scriptures that words can take all sorts of different meanings, then we better not push a lexical definition over the contextual meaning of words. So look at this. Here's something that's really interesting. I've got Luke 8, 6 through 8 on the left, and then I've got Matthew 13, 5 to 8 on the right. Now on the right, we have other, but it's Allah. And then on the left, we have other, but it's heteros. But you notice it's essentially the same story. Some fell. Okay? That's heteros. Different. Other. Of a different kind. Some fell upon the rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns. That's other. Different ones. Among thorns. And sprang up with it and choked it, and other fell, that's different ones, on good ground, and sprang up and bear fruit. Okay, cool. That makes sense. Okay, heteros, different. Now, let's go across to the right, and here we have essentially the same story. Let's see what the writer chooses here for other. And it's allos. Some fell. Now that is other of the same kind, if you push that, right? But as you go down, verse 7, and some fell among thorns, that's allos again. And then verse 8, but other fell on the good ground, that's allos again. In both cases, you have essentially the same story, but one writer uses heteros, and the other uses allos. Well, it seems to me that this is good evidence for saying that these are being used interchangeably. There's no reason for me to see a difference because it's the same story. Okay, that's kind of interesting. Now look at this. I think we need to go to the scriptures now. Let's look this up ourselves in our Bible. This is in 1 Corinthians 15 because I think this is really cool. Okay, and this is the kind of trail you've got to go through sometimes when you're studying the scriptures. And I think this is not easy, right? You're going to have to spend some time on this. And I find that this is why Bible study can be very time-consuming. You've got to check everything. So 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 39, it says this. Let's read from verse 38. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. So he's talking about the resurrection and the nature of the body when it comes up. And it says here, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another, see what it says, another flesh of beasts, another, right, of fishes, and another of birds. The word here is allos. Now the lexical, if we just stayed with the lexical definition, it would mean another of the same kind. But look at the context. The context is there is one kind of flesh. Why, even the word kind is in there. One kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, another different. You see, the flesh is different. But the word here is allos. The lexicon would say allos of the same kind. But the context here tells you exactly the opposite. It's another of a different kind. But allos is used. Well, what happened to the lexicon? My friends, if you just go by the lexicon, you're going to get it wrong. And this is proof that you'd get it wrong. There's no doubt about it. Okay, coming on down. This is another one. This is in Matthew 2:12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. That's a different way, right? These are the wise men that came. This is an interesting story because Herod wanted to use them. they reported into Herod and said, you know, okay, that's cool. Herod wanted to know, where is this, you know, this one that's been reported who's to be a ruler? When you find him, come back and tell me. And of course, they weren't too pleased to do that. They found Jesus, and they were warned in a dream that they should not go back to Herod, and they departed into their own country another way, a different way. But the word is allos. You see? Different to what the lexicon would expect here. And sometimes you'll find it does make sense. Like, for example, Rahab sent the messengers out a different way. Likewise, also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works? You know, isn't it interesting, the Bible, the way the Bible picks out different characters of very different life history? There's some that you perhaps would wish that the Bible didn't talk about, but in retrospect, it shows you the real need of every single person. Any time you want to look at someone and put them down, you better look at your own heart. Jesus says, you look at a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery in your heart already. And so I think the way the Bible talks about various individuals really sets the playing field, doesn't it? Lets you know really what God's thinking about you. Likewise, also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messages and had sent them out another way? Exactly what we expect. Heteros is being used here. A different way. Okay, cool. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes it goes completely against what the context would demand if you take the lexical meaning. Okay? Cool, in other ways it would work. And here is, you'd expect heteros, but in fact you get an allos. This is Matthew 19:9. And I say unto her, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry a different one. You see? You'd expect to get heteros, but you get allos. Okay, cool. And you get heteros here in Romans 7:3. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. Heteros. There's some very interesting things. Perhaps at some stage we'll look at divorce. Divorce, remarriage, have a look what the scriptures say about it. There's some interesting things you may not have contemplated about this topic. And you say, well, why is that important? Well, because, unfortunately, divorce is a matter of what we see around us in life. Sometimes divorce happens for reasons which, in one side, one person may divorce another and they're completely right in what they're doing. Completely. Completely correct in what they're doing. And you need to understand this to help people these days. Remember, God himself is someone who is a divorcee. Right? But anyway, going on. And it says, she be married to an other. Well, that's heteros. She shall be called an adulteress, so a different one. So that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another, different man. See, again. So in both of those cases, you get heteros. Okay, here's another one. This is John 5:32. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Okay, so that's cool. Another of the same kind. That will make a lot of sense. Then come down here to John 5:43. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. What's a good example of that? The Antichrist. But look what the word is for another. It is allos. So if you push the lexical meaning, what will it say? If another of the same kind as me shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. Well, that really is going to blow it, right? In other words, you push the lexical definitions here, you're going to get a meaning that would be very antithetical to this idea of the Antichrist, who is quite different from Christ. Okay. Okay, so as you do your reading, you start to see things that appear in the various lexicons, like, for example, down here, it is used interchangeably with heteros. This is talking about allos. It's used interchangeably with heteros. In other words, from time to time, you'll find some lexicons will point this out. But it might not be pointed out in your lexicon. What's the rule? The rule that I'm trying to get you to see is you better make sure you get the context and meaning of words from their context. Okay? Don't rely on this. This is just a statement about from Bruce, who also saw this about John 10:16. Now let's just go across to John 10:16 before I move on. And I want you to see this. I'll bring back Bruce's statement. John 10:16. We'll go down to, let's see, let's start verse 13. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. So this is John 10:13. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now here's another one of these interesting statements. I lay down my life for the sheep. Oh, so he didn't lay down his life for anyone other than the sheep. Is that right? Is that the logical consequence of that statement? Paul says that Jesus died for the church, effectively. Died for the church. Does that mean that he died for people that are not saved? Well, yeah. His blood was shed for the whole world. It only is effectual on those who believe. But carry on. Let's carry on. It says in verse 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Aule is a court where the sheep and the shepherds are. And other sheep I have which are not of this court, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one... Now, see what it says, one fold? It means one flock. One flock and one shepherd. And the word for flock and the word for shepherd are cognate. They come from the same root. There shall be one flock and one shepherd. Now, I'm just pointing this out, that this particular individual says exactly what I taught you as we went through John. Right? The sheep who belonged to this fold were of Jewish stock, but he had other sheep who must be brought to him who never belonged to that fold and indeed could not be accommodated within it. And he talks about the fact that, you know, this is the idea that he is going out to the world. And he's preaching now this ministry to the world. That is John. Okay, cool. And now let's go down further. This is from Jeremiah 50 verse 6. Look at this. I want to show you a principle here. Okay, if you look at this expression, my people, and boy, if you do this, you'll get a fantastic study. But if you look through the Bible for my people, virtually everywhere you'll go, you'll find, contextually, it's Israel. Israel, my people, Israel. My people hath been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. Okay. Very clear. So Israel is often referred to as my people and his sheep. But look at this. Consider this. What's this? This comes from Jeremiah 11 verse 4. Which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt. So what's that Egypt? It's like a type of the world. From the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do them according to all which I commanded you, so shall ye be my people and I will be your God. Good. We understand this. Now watch this, Isaiah 19:25, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed be Egypt. What? Wait a minute now. You've got Israel is my people. They are the sheep of my pasture. But the problem is that the shepherds have led them astray. Isaiah 19:25. Then the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed be Egypt, my people. There's no doubt about it. Could you imagine anything diametrically opposite? First of all, you've got Israel coming out of the iron furnace, which is Egypt. That Egypt, bunch of pagans, man. You talk about pagans. I studied this. I studied the Egyptian language, hieroglyphics, which is a really interesting study. Because they had this fascinating religion. And everything was around their pagan religion. Everything, man. Oh, man. And they did crazy stuff. Like when the Pharaoh would die, they would bury alive with them all his wives and servants. Alive. You know? They do that kind of stuff. Anyway, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed be Egypt my people, and Assyria the work of my hands, and Israel mine inheritance. Wow! You got Israel being his inheritance, but Egypt is called my people. Something really amazing going on here. Look at Zechariah 2:11. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day. Oh, okay, so there's a day coming. And shall be my people. Gentiles, referred to as my people. And I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto thee. Okay, cool, man. Look at this. This doesn't stop, friends. It keeps going. Isaiah 56:7. Even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar. For mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. For all people. This is quoted. Mark 11:17 says, and he taught, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer. Did you notice that God, when he talks about the altar, he calls it my altar. When he talks about his temple, he calls it my temple. You see, it's not Israel's altar. It's not Israel's house fundamentally. Okay, they had to look after it. They were commissioned to look after it. But it's fundamentally God's. And God is interested in the redemption of all mankind. Okay, and he's going to use Israel to do it. And I've pointed out down here, you notice in the blue here, Gentiles, ethnesin, okay, that's the ethnic groups which make up the Gentiles. Okay, cool. Now, I won't read all this, but in Romans, during the book of Acts, okay, what do we have here? During the book of Acts, what do we have? We have a time when there is a commission going on and Paul is being used of God to go to the Jew first. And what he does is he certainly ministers them and he uses the Gentiles to provoke Israel to jealousy. But at the same time, that is not to say, nor does he deny the fact that there were promises given in the Old Testament scriptures that were to the Gentiles. Look what it says. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Stop. Okay, that's cool. We understand that, but notice Paul doesn't stop there. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again he said, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. So let's not ever forget that God had a great plan and purpose for the nations as well. It's simply that he was to use the nation of Israel as the means to get to these people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles. Laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah said, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign of the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Gentiles, 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 as it is written, Gentiles. Now, we don't normally hear that from dispensational circles, do we? But that's a part of the scriptures. We will not deny the scriptures that they are there. Paul magnifies it. And in Romans 11, he talks about the grafting in of this wild olive tree. And it's grafted into the good olive, and it partakes of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. They partake in this. Okay, cool. So coming back here, I want you to see something else in this John 10:16. Okay? And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. And other sheep. We know other doesn't mean other of the same kind. It doesn't have to mean other of the same kind. Proof? I've just proven it. Other I have, that's got Ellis. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one flock. Now notice it comes down here, it says flocks in the first black arrow. It points to poimne. Okay, that's a flock. And then it says, hase poimain. That is shepherd, one shepherd. And you can see even from the sound of my pronunciation of the Greek there, it's cognate. Comes from flock. Shepherd and flock are joined together. They have the same root. Okay, cool. Shepherd. Now, as you go through the scriptures, you find this coming up. Watch this. In 2 Samuel 7:8 says, now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote. Oh, that's like the fold, you see. From following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel. Now here you have David, type of Christ. He is a shepherd. He has a place where he would hang out, the sheepcote. He would follow the sheep. He was a shepherd. And now what's he done? He's been put in place as ruler over Israel. My people. Now remember, my people certainly mostly means Israel. But when the situation is right, it can also mean Israel. Other than Israel. It can mean Egypt. It can mean other Gentile nations. When the time is right. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. This guy comes from a fold and now he is head over the nation of Israel. Here we have a great picture of what's going to happen with Christ. Except what he's going to do is he's going to bring in the other sheep. And he's going to bring them together and there'll be one flock. Just like the Old Testament scriptures promised. Okay, now here is the real weird one. Okay, so now let's go to our age. So now we're going to go to our age, and in Ephesians 4:11 it says, "And he gave some apostles, cool, some prophets, cool." We understand the context of this, and if you've understood the Acts 28:29 deal that I've been trying to get you to understand, you can understand why there would be apostles and why there would be prophets. And some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Some pastors. Poimenes. What's that? Shepherds. What's their job? Well, if they don't have sheep, they've got no job. You know what I'm saying? If they don't have sheep to look after, they're shepherds without a job. In other words, there must be sheep today. And in the context here, they're most definitely not Israel. Right? That's kind of a very interesting point to think about. So what I'm trying to get you to see here is the fact that Bible study is cool, but sometimes it's hard work, and sometimes you're going to have to throw out a thought or an idea which has been commonly taught. Now, amongst dispensational circles, the other sheep has been pushed by using the word allos as meaning of the same kind to try and say that the other sheep are just Israel scattered abroad. And all that Jesus is saying here is he's going to bring those ones who are scattered abroad and there'll be one flock one day and one shepherd. But what I'm saying is, contextually, that's not necessarily the case. And in fact, if you look at Matthew 22, it's not going to be the case. I'm really over time, so I'm going to stop. But there's more to say with this, right? And maybe if I have time, I might start here next time and we'll say a little bit more about this. Okay, cool. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this ministry and for all of the teaching that we have in the scriptures. We pray, Lord, that as we seek to study, that we would rightly divide the word of truth and from that see the distinctives in the scripture, make things plain and clear, that we will not be deceived or taken aside from what is intended. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.